Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. We're going to talk with Chief of Police Pat Malloy from Abington in just a moment. But after that, we're going to dip into the first White House press briefing of the Trump administration. Caroline Leavitt, who I believe is 27 years of age. And I'm looking at the picture that Fox has, youngest woman ever to be in that role. It gives you an idea of how this is not a grandiose room at all. I've been there a couple of times. It's kind of junky. It's kind of small. And the seats sometimes are a bit ripped. You don't see that from some of the shots. This shot, they're showing it. It looks kind of crowded and small. And that's exactly what it is. It is at the White House and all, but still, it's not overwhelming. All right, Pat Malloy is quite a friend to the show. He and a group of others really guard the suburbs in a manner that is world class. And I was just talking with him because he sent me that cut we played from that news conference about tinted windows. And all the time we talk with him, you go through Abington, you have people coming through Philadelphia with the phony license or no license plate. Tinted windows, guns, weed. Saying, what do you mean? I just came from Philadelphia. Everything's okay with that. Maybe not in Abington. Let's go to Chief Pat Malloy. Hey, Pat, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dom, thanks for having me on.
Well, Pat, at this moment in time now, local communities around the country, and I guess we're poised. New York last night, illegal immigration, one of those vicious drug gangs. Philadelphia, I'm told by one source they think something will happen here this week. What's the stance in Abington?
Sure. Like, I've been 32 years in this business, and I can recall ICE showing up at, on my beat when I was covering Glenside North Hills for a couple occasions. One was a Guatemalan illegally in our country that shot a cop in his home country, so we assisted in taking that individual into custody. And then I was down on Mount Carmel Avenue, and we were approached by ICE agents to help with somebody working at the local pizza place who was a repeat sex offender who was deported once, came back, and reoffended. And I was just on an email chain with all the chiefs in Montgomery County talking about this because there's some legitimate concerns, I think, that people are bringing to our attention, but it's based on emotion and bad information. Just for example, like in the Pottstown area, one of the chiefs responded that we had an undocumented individual from Ecuador that was sexually assaulting a 9-year-old girl. December 24th, Bangladesh, that was trafficking a 14-year-old girl from Bangladesh. And just yesterday, there were three males from Honduras, illegal immigrants, that were selling guns. And as you know, like the South American theft ring and the Chilean burglars, we're hyper-focused on public safety. We're not out there, like, investigating immigration status, but we do focus on and triage taking violent felons and repeat offenders off the streets. And you see this new focus, and sort of the gloves are coming off with taking, bad guys into custody. It has, I reached out to residents and people from the Human Relations Commission who were encouraging us not to cooperate with ICE. And, you know, this is the ultimate team sport. Whether you're federal, local, or state, you know, we're here to work as a team, to be hyper-focused on public safety and taking bad guys off the street. I don't care where you come from. You know, we're not focused on that. And maybe there are people who are legitimately concerned that because of their immigration status that the local officer is going to do a ped stop. Well, that's just not based on any reality. It's all emotion. And it's perpetuated, I think, by the media and others who should know better. They should ask the questions like you ask and have like cops on the show to tell you how it really is, not what people perceive.
And, Pat, this Chilean gangs, I think this morning you commended the highest commendation or one of your highest commendations for Raymond de los Santos, officer there who was involved in just the grunt work in bringing this to fruition, the boldness of this. That these guys, the Meadowbrook area for you, but they've done it in others from Chile, they come to the United States, they have the wherewithal to get into the country, block Wi-Fi, have the most sophisticated equipment. How do they enter the country? I mean, what is it based on that they're able to penetrate this?
Yes, and we had one that came in through Houston, through Texas, through on a 90-day work visa, and they just stay beyond the 90 days. And even in that one case, we had somebody come in that we took into custody that was associated with murders and gangs in his country of origin. And I couldn't be more proud of Lieutenant Steve Fink. As you know, he's now a major crimes detective in the county. And he was ringing the bell about this and sounding the alarm a couple years ago when nobody, none of our federal partners or even at the state level were even in tune to this. So he took the leadership role and put together a task force. And now I have people from the FBI and the Attorney General's office complimenting Steve Fink and the Abington, you know, Police Department for some of the things that they've done. You know, over $1 million just on that one block of stolen merchandise in Abington. $1 million, 10 burglaries, and then irreplaceable heirlooms were taken from those residents. So, you know, this is not a crime of violence, but this is a serious crime, you know, going into somebody's house. And these individuals, because of flaws in the system, were able to stay here, repeat offenders. But right now we're having some success in locking them up from California to Pennsylvania down to Florida because of the task force and the combination of federal, state, and local law enforcement people working together to protect our citizens. And that's what we're take an oath to do that, and there's nothing on God's green earth that will ever stop me and my officers and all of the officers in Montgomery County from cooperating to make our community safe, and whoever comes into our municipality to ask for some help to take a violent felon off the street. We're all in.
Talking with Pat Malloy, Chief of Police out in Abington. So, Pat, the headline that I saw from all the immigration stuff, in Denver, but near there, they took into custody two cartel members, and 134,000 was the count, fentanyl pills. And the little bit that I know, I'm squeamish about this. You mentioned the word fentanyl. I'm not going to be anywhere near that touching it, being around it. But 134,000 pills.
Yes, this is like a national security crisis. And I know through family, friends, and just my experience here in Abington, when we lose a young person to fentanyl, and we've had numerous and an uptick over the years, a lot of it can be traced back to Colombia or Mexico, and these new pill presses, you know, which are made in China, all of these things with highly deadly like poison that's coming into this country. And I think we have to have all hands on deck. And I applaud the officers in Colorado and all these task forces who are rolling up their sleeves. Like, this is a national emergency. We each and every one of those lives are sacred. And I've seen too many good kids get caught up, whether they're taking Vicodin after surgery, and then they get addicted to that, and then they're going on the street and buying poison, which is designed to kill our young people. And they've been very successful, over 60,000 a year consistently. I mean, this is a crisis and another byproduct of the issues that we have at the border.
Pat, the Irish mafia of police chiefs out there, so to speak, you sent me the Ben Salem guy who looks like he belongs in a John Wayne movie. We say that all the time. Yes. Talking about their stop people for tinted windows. And again, you know, thank you for sending it to me. You know how I drill down on a thing, because I see a problem that can be stopped here, and just the proliferation of this, and we become used to it. What do people say when they're stopped for this? Do they say, well, I did it in Philadelphia, it must be legal? What's their excuse?
Yeah, that is a common response. They think, you know, when you let up on something like Philadelphia, and you know, God bless the officers in Philadelphia, they run from call to call. They're sort of have to react. They don't even have the time to do proactive policing. And the staffing and deployment in the future, I hope, gets to that point, Dom. But we emphasize when you come on board here, you're not going to sit on the sidelines as a police officer in the suburbs. You're going to come and you're going to be proactive. You're going to treat people with respect and dignity. But these tinted windows are an officer safety issue. And so if you're driving through Abington and the officer is not running calls, you're going to be stopped. And you saw how that yielded, what results were yielded.
Guns.
Guns, warrants, and, you know, there's a litany of really bad actors that were removed from the street because the officer was proactive in either a license plate, a tinted windows, what I call like the broken windows theory of the roadway, you know, sort of the quality of life. And at a time where we have, you know, more pedestrians being struck than ever in recent times and accidents, you know, we're out there to have high visibility enforcement. And the bad guys got to know when you're coming through Abington, you know, and you have tinted windows, there's a good chance you're going to be stopped. And what we have yielded and taken guns, ghost guns, guns with their filed serial numbers off. Just amazing work that Bill McVeigh's department consistently does, and many of our departments up here in Montgomery County, because of the culture that we build, you know, in being proactive. And I hope one day Philadelphia has more officers and they're able to get back into that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Pat, as always, thank you. Thanks for the insight, and particularly my fetish on the tinted windows. I just see it. I drive row among all people crazy if I'm driving with you. There's another one. What the heck goes on with this stuff? So, Pat, thank you. And as always, I commend and that your officers with the Chilean criminals. That is a big, big accomplishment.
Dom, thanks for giving us a platform to recognize these officers and the great work that they're doing. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat. And we may be hearing something from the Abington thing. I know they're working up something with Joe Conklin. We'll promote that when that happens in the near future around that. Let's dip into, here is Caroline Leavitt at the first press briefing for the Trump administration.
...city has been restored. Before I take your questions, I would like to point out to all of you once again have access to the most transparent and accessible president in American history. There has never been a president who communicates with the American people and the American press corps as openly and authentically as the 45th and now 47th president of the United States. This past week, President Trump has held multiple news conferences, gaggled on Air Force One multiple times, and sat down for a two-part interview on Fox News, which aired last week. As Politico summed it up best, Trump is everywhere again. And that's because President Trump has a great story to tell about the legendary American revival that is well underway. And in keeping with this revolutionary media approach that President Trump deployed during the campaign, the Trump White House will speak to all media outlets and personalities, not just the legacy media who are seated in this room. Because according to recent polling from Gallup, Americans' trust in mass media has fallen to a record low. Millions of Americans, especially young people, have turned from traditional television outlets and newspapers to consume their news from podcasts, blogs, social media, and other independent outlets. It's essential to our team that we share President Trump's message everywhere and adapt this White House to the new media landscape in 2025. To do this, I am excited to announce the following changes will be made to this historic James S. Brady briefing room, where Mr. Brady's legacy will endure. This White House believes strongly in the First Amendment, so it's why our team will work diligently to restore the press passes of the 440 journalists whose passes were wrongly revoked by the previous administration. We're also opening up this briefing room to new media voices who produce news-related content and whose outlet is not already represented by one of the seats in this room. We welcome independent journalists, podcasters, social media influencers, and content creators to apply for credentials to cover this White House. And you can apply now on our new website, whitehouse.gov/newmedia. Starting today, this seat in the front of the room, which is usually occupied by the press secretary's staff, will be called the new media seat. My team will review the applications and give credentials to new media applicants who meet our criteria and pass United States Secret Service requirements to enter the White House complex. So in light of these announcements, our first questions for today's briefing will go to these new media members whose outlets, despite being some of the most viewed news websites in the country, have not been given seats in this room. And before I turn to questions, I do have news directly from the President of the United States that was just shared with me in the Oval Office from President Trump directly, an update on the New Jersey drones. After research and study, the drones that were flying over New Jersey in large numbers were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons. Many of these drones were also hobbyists, recreational and private individuals that enjoy flying drones. In time, it got worse due to curiosity. This was not the enemy. A statement from the President of the United States to start this briefing with some news. And with that, I will turn it over to questions. And we will begin with our new media members, Mike Allen from Axios, Matt Boyle from Breitbart. Mike, why don't you go ahead?
Thank you very much. Carolyn, does the president...
All right, Dan, thank you. Good call on that. Again, let's get that application in there. I know where to send it now. What about talk radio, Caroline? Come on. Breitbart and all that stuff. It's not talk radio. Come on. All right, Dan, what do you make of this? I would like to hear a little bit more on this. 855-839-1210, this idea of the drones are FAA research and hobbyists. So why are they still doing this, though? You know, is this going to continue? Isn't that the question coming out of that? Is that sufficient? 855-839-1210. Dan, you heard what I did. You hear anything else?
Still trying to listen to see if there's anything else here, but it's sufficient. It's all that the Biden administration had to do because what's led to this conspiracy-type situation we've seen is there's just been no answers. They've refused to even address it. So the fact that he comes out and says, look, this is us testing our own equipment. It started as us testing our own equipment, right, and it turned into hobbyists getting up in the sky, and it spiraled out of control. Look, it's something. It's better than nothing.
Well, I'm in agreement with that. But, you know, I thought there were no fly zones, and I thought there's a... I still don't think they ought to be doing this, is what I'm saying. I think this is bothering people.
Well, from reading between the lines, what I think is that they haven't been doing it for a while now, and now it's just the hobbyists that were there for a while. And I mean, you go on Reddit now, on NJ Drone subreddit, or right, the Facebook subreddit, I hate to say, but sightings have drastically gone down. I don't know if it's because people's eyes aren't trained to the skies like they were for the month or so.
Well, I challenge that because Enigma, Henry and I have been going back and forth trying to get him, Dan. They're reporting more sightings, Schumer and others,
really?
Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's out of control. Now, you're right. This is better, though. Is that sufficient to you? I heard that from Caroline Leavitt. This was well played. Her first moment, she breaks news that these were FAA research. I'm not clear if that's stopped now, FAA research. and then hobbyists kind of jumping in there. 855-839-1210. Henry, do you have something on that?
I don't buy that hobbyist line, not for a second.
At this moment, these you mean,
are,
right?
No, these are like industrial-grade right. drones. They're yeah. not little propellers that you fly right. around. I don't buy that for a
right.
second.
So my point would be, should the FAA knock it off then? Did
the
we
FAA,
really
that's a good answer. But if you yeah. throw in and hobbyists,
right.
You lose.
Right, me. Okay. But why are they still doing it? How much more research do we need here? Or does that satisfy you? Dan, you seem satisfied.
Not that I'm satisfied. I'm just it's what we've been asking for Trump is
well,
to at
right.
least address it in some way or another.
I'm in agreement. Are you satisfied
got,
with the answer
you know?
Though, or do you want more done? I do want more done.
I don't know because what I it's kind of what I've settled on as the answer as
okay.
time has gone on, and,
right.
and to finally have that said by the president, it's almost like look, if we're doing this for national security purposes, and that's why there's been such a hush hush from the Biden administration, and it benefits America, and the America first kind of angle here is to, you know,
right.
maybe not reveal to our enemies what we're testing exactly, then I think it's a sufficient enough answer. I don't need to know what's being tested up there. I just need to know that it is indeed ours. It's not the Chinese, which I thought it might have been, or it's not Iran, you know, it's not aliens.
Okay.
It's us.
Who's our guy to call instantly? I know this would be pulling a rabbit out of a hat. You know who I'm thinking of,
the
right?
The mayor?
No. Oh, yeah. The mayor.
Mayor
or, well, really, Jeff Van Drew.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, when I hear what Van Drew says about it. Okay?
Yeah, I'll see if I can get him on.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, 855-839-1210. But I want to hear from you. We're talk radio. We're the new media. Is that sufficient? You heard what she said now from the president. Is that all we need to know? I'm a little unclear. Are they still? I would be asking more questions if I'm in that seat about are they still going to be going forward doing this? How do we know the hobbyists versus the others? It seems to be we have reports of a lot more. Again, they have no fly zones. 855-839-1210. So Trump answering it finally is a good thing. And I get it. Saving it for the first news conference. Okay. First words that she spoke, breaking news. This is going to be a much different news conference type of thing. And again, this new media thing is very intriguing to me. All right, coming to your calls here. Hey, looking to achieve your health goals and start the new year right? Now's the time to optimize and support your heart health, cholesterol, digestive health, energy levels, and more with Rescue Natural Supplements with their New Year's savings. Rescue is celebrating you. Save 35% on single bottles of Rescue supplements. Use that code HEALTH35. Try the popular Rescue 1250 Omega-3 for heart health, Rescue Probiotic for better digestion, or Rescue Orasine for more energy. Whatever your health goals, Rescue has you covered. To place an order, call 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a Rescue product consultant or shop online at res-q.com, res-q.com. Start your journey to better health today. Use that code HEALTH. 35. Again, save 35% on all single supplements with that code HEALTH35. Don't wait. Make this year your best one yet with Rescue. All right, Dom Giordano's show. So, Caroline Leavitt, this is going to be an explosive, much different than KGP. Actually, a competent individual, albeit the youngest ever at 27, breaking the news the drones were related to FAA research slash then hobbyists got into it.
And since then, first question was from an alternative news source that's now being led in to ask types of questions. I think it was Axios.
Axios, okay.
Talking about the First Amendment. So Caroline, once again, clarified how one can go into the press room if they like, if they're an alternative news source. The second question, Dom, came to federal funding and asking for clarification as to whether the pause on federal funding will affect individuals. And Caroline laid out that those that receive funding from the government, individuals receive funding will not be affected. This is just affecting, you know, big programs and such. But that's where the conversation has been directed so far, and I'll bring you anything that is more explosive than that.
All right. So I'm just unclear on whether this is stopped with the FAA. You know, a lot of our listeners in Jersey, does that satisfy you? It satisfies them telling us what it is versus the enemy, China, and all that stuff. But is it ongoing? Are they okay with that? Is there any regulation on that? And it doesn't, you know, hobbyists having access to what we're still hearing about is a bit outlandish. The idea of the FAA doing this, though, for some kind of research reason, okay. I don't think we need, you know, if that's some super FAA, would they be doing something that's highly secretive? I'm not sure about that. So what kind of research would they be doing? If it's on that level, okay, we have to live with it. But we've talked about this. Schumer was the one demanding answers again within the last day or so, given more and more sightings. 855-839-1210. I see it on Twitter. I haven't seen it in other spots yet. This is big breaking news, though, and this is much different. And again, it's going to be interesting to see the new media types. These podcaster guys, damn, when they get in there, can you imagine they don't like the previous question?
It's a 3-hour news conference now when they sit down and have conversations about life.
The time that I went to the Oval Office, they made us enter through the press room. And that's why I told you. And here's what I saw there. Not making it up. Sebastian Gorka, who was doing a talk radio show then, but he's a former presidential advisor. He's back to that. He was screaming. They were cursing unbelievably the stuff they were saying with Jim Acosta, who was there. I thought there was a brawl ready to break out. I couldn't quite see it when I first came in the door, and you could just hear the yelling here. So it's not this grandiose room. And you heard her say, we're restoring 440 people licenses who were kicked out by Biden. You know, and you can guesstimate from there why they might have been kicked out. There are some people in these news conferences who asked questions that nobody's interested in when you only have a little bit of a time to talk to the person. So, but new voices, new media, that's the takeaway. And the drone story, that's exactly the right thing to do, to be announcing this today. She's got anything else on it?
She's addressing immigration now, if you wanted that.
Okay, let's hear a little bit more.
Yeah, she's asked about the president of Colombia.
Okay,
here you go.
Yeah.
And the priorities of the American people.
So will there be a landline?
Yes. Welcome. You look great. You're doing a great job.
You talked about
transparency, and some of us in this room know how just transparent President Trump has been the last 5 or 6 years. I think you'll do the same. My question is, do you think this latest incident with the president of Colombia is indicative of the global powerful respect they have for President Trump moving forward, not only to engage in economic diplomacy with these countries, but also world peace?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'll echo the answer that the president gave on Air Force One last night when he was asked a very similar question by one of your colleagues in the media. This signifies peace through strength is back. And this president will not tolerate illegal immigration into America's interior. And he expects every nation on this planet, again, to cooperate with the repatriation of their citizens who illegally entered into our country and broke America's laws. Won't be tolerated. And as you saw, the Colombian government quickly folded and agreed to all of President Trump's demands. Flights are underway once again.
All right, there we go. All right, coming up, I've been telling you that the Trump people are drilling down to levels. We told you about the whistleblower doctor, the gender-affirming care. His Justice Department dropped the suit against that guy. Big case for trying to get him on. But they're also drilling down on stuff like higher education. You know these universities have to be accredited, right? Why don't we have more conservatives or more low-cost college? Well, could it be the people that do the accrediting are political actors, ideologues? We got a great guest who exposed this, and the Trump people apparently are now, you heard about the federal grants, they're going after the people that accredit colleges. Think about that as an angle of attack. It's revolutionary. That's next here on Talk Radio 1210.
The gun that he wore.
Drive off in your dream car with an auto loan from American Heritage Credit Union. We're proud to offer low rates and flexible terms to ensure you're getting the vehicle you truly want. Lock in with low monthly payments and terms up to 84 months. Or if your lease is nearing its end, consider a lease buyout to stick with your reliable vehicle. To learn more, visit AmericanHeritageCU.org/auto. Insured by NCUA. Not a member? Join today. Equal opportunity lender.
Stop buying gold online. Edelman's Coins is the Philadelphia area's largest buyer and seller of gold and silver bullion. Family owned for 99 years, Edelman's Coins has continued to provide ultra-competitive pricing paired with unparalleled customer service. With transparent buy-sell spreads, you know you will always get a fair deal. When buying or selling bullion or coins, think Edelman's Coins. Call 215-572-6480 or visit edelmanscoins.com.
Saving for retirement is one thing. Making your money last? For that, you may need some help. Listen to Joe Yakovich on The Heart of Your Money, Sundays at 9 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Rhea here to tell you about the exciting things going on at Lexus of Cherry Hill. The L-certified winter collection sales event is going on now. New year, new ride. Receive special finance rates on L-certified Lexus models now through March 3rd. Over 300 new and pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Lexus of Cherry Hill is family and veteran owned and operated, and a seven-time J.D. Power Dealer of Excellence recipient for the customer sales experience. Visit LexusOfCherryHill.com.
For J.D. Power Dealer of Excellence information, visit JDPower.com/US-DOE.
Broadcasting live from the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, Dom Giordano Show. Momentarily, we're going to go to a special guest. Headline, The Politics of Higher Education Accreditation. The people that accredit universities, do they just go by something based on academics? Or is it, as I've said over the years, I was looking at the cost part of this. Joining us, I happen to see this article because it's an example of the Trump administration now drilling down to stuff that's gone on forever. Scott Yanner is a professor of political science at Boise State University, an honored visiting graduate faculty at Ashland University, and a Washington fellow at the Claremont. Claremont Institute Center for the American Way of Life. Let's bring in Scott here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Scott, welcome in. Thanks for joining us. Great article.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great article that seems to be in the weeds, but the weeds are where we get what passes as a college education.
Yeah, I mean, the accreditation process allows student loans to flow to any institution of higher education that is accredited. So the details on how one becomes accredited end up being very important to institutions of higher ed. So universities have to do what the accreditors say in order to be accredited.
So you ask a question a few paragraphs in, can Trump fire accreditors?
Yeah, well, Trump has promised to fire accreditors, and the details or the weeds that you were talking about involve how the United States Department of Education accredits the accreditors, how it chooses to say that certain private institutions can wield the public power of determining what institutions of higher ed can be accredited. And if they're not doing the job, the Department of Ed has the power to end the ability of accreditors to accredit universities. And so it's just a matter of demonstrating that they are not doing their job.
Well, you know, the first thing that occurs to me that's ripped right out of the news toward that, I don't care if it's Columbia or anybody else, is what they're doing around anti-Semitism, things of that nature on campus. It's violence at Columbia, as I understand it now, certain courses that deal with Judaism or Israel. There are usually at least an observer, if not a guard there, Scott.
Yeah, so one of the things accreditors need to do is make sure that academic institutions are applying and enforcing their standards to make sure that education programs are of high quality and that they're delivered in a way that the university says that they will deliver them. So if the university has like policies against demonstrations or against violence, and then it is not adhering to them under certain circumstances, like the Hamas protests that went on, I'm being nice by calling them protests, I suppose, on many campuses, then that would be a great reason for accreditors to be visiting schools and making sure that they're applying their own standards. I don't think that's happened yet, but I'm sure that something like that is going to be happening under the Trump administration.
Yeah, and this really is, you know, the frontal attack, the other stuff that we've seen, Scott, has been ineffective, and it seems to me Republicans then just seem to give up. How about DEI? Does that explicitly apply to what we're dealing with here? Because that's a mandate now not to be engaging in DEI or just changing the alphabet, but doing the same thing.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting thing. One of the accreditors out here in the Western states recently floated the idea that the accreditor would drop its DEI requirements. And so the accreditors are foisting this stuff on universities, making universities do it. And it said, well, maybe we're going to stop doing this. The universities themselves complained and said, you know, we don't want to, adhere to any Trump mandate before he actually issues the mandate. So the accreditor kept it in. It kept it in. So now that the mandate is out there, the accreditors, if they do not get rid of the DEI requirements, should lose their ability to accredit universities.
How
is them out of business.
How is one chosen? You say they're chosen by the Department of Education. But then again, I would assume to be an accreditor, Scott, somebody with your credentials, you could do it, but it seemed to be an insider's game. Who even knows?
It is
who
an insider.
Yeah.
It's an insider's game because you can only accredit if you're accrediting.
Yeah.
You know? So having a new accreditor is very difficult to get in because you're not accrediting currently. So there's like a circle that's impossible to crack. And that's something that, you know, but that's part of the regulations. You can change that regulation at the Department of Ed level in order to allow for different kinds of accreditors and not require accrediting experience at the front.
Scott, you don't address it in this because this was enough here. I mean, you really drilled down on some great points that are just kind of formulating. They're going back and forth on. I've read over the years about the people that can accredit a new college, not just on ideology, but on cost. And the requirements they seem to come up with sometimes to me to seem to be pretty artificial. In other words, we're trying to cut down the cost on college, and it's a game like a cartel where the others want to keep these new colleges out because they can continue to run up the prices.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a monopolistic practice or a fact that, universities and colleges in the country have. They seem to have such power over the future of students. In order to have a future, most people think they have to go to and through colleges. And then the accreditors kind of reinforce that because it's very difficult and costly as a new college to go through an accreditation process. I'm actually part of a new college that's being built in Wyoming. I'm on the Board of Regents of it. It's called Luther Classical College. And in order to kind of launch, we have to be concerned with accreditation right up front, which means that even though we're only going to have like 60 students in the first year, we have to have something like 6 administrators because all the administrators have to be like hired with an aim to getting accreditation from some of the current accreditors. So, yeah, the accreditation process acts as a disincentive to innovation in higher ed. No doubt about it.
And, Scott, with the college that you're involved, the one I'm talking about, the ones I was working with and talking to, I think we're past the days of a library has to have 15,000 books or something.
Yeah.
But that was one of the requirements. And you can see how then somebody launching like you are, a new college, how fraught with difficulty this is just on the basis of cost. And it seems to me I want to have you back to talk about your college once you get that launch and talk radio over the years. There was Dom Giordano University, fictitious, theater of the mind, but we played with it a lot about the various deans and what they would be involved in. And there's these are exciting things, this accreditation, to break through this monopolistic, both ideologically and also cost.
Yeah, I mean, I myself was a graduate of the Limbaugh Institute for Advanced Conservative Studies. Okay. I don't know about you.
Well, that's who, when Rush partied, nobody takes his place, but they tagged me in here in Philadelphia. So I know exactly what you mean. That was quite a theater of the mind. So, Scott, this Politics of Higher Education Accreditation, this at the James G. Martin Center for Academic Renewals, where I found it. Where do we find you on Twitter or someplace in social media?
Yeah, my Twitter handle is at Scott Yenor, Y-E-N-O-R. And I also post all the things that I write on my LinkedIn account. Happy to connect with people. And I write tons on higher education. And right now I'm drilling down a lot on things like accreditation and program review, new areas of conservative reform, I think.
Well, absolutely. Scott, please, you have Dan, you have the Emperor and Henry. Keep us in your loop, particularly with your college. We do a podcast, too, that's exclusively on education, parenting, and the like. It's going to really take off, and I certainly like to call on you again.
All right. Well, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you, Scott. Scott Yenor here on Talk Radio 1210. And Trump propelled again. I wanted you to know this is how far down this is being drilled. To the level of accrediting college. This is genius where we're headed here versus the frontal assault on what they've engaged in. I know you can say, well, everybody doesn't. We know everybody has to go to college, but a lot of people do or think they do, and it's going to be there for a while. Can you imagine if you put the right people in accrediting colleges from the Department of Education versus the people currently doing that? What a difference it might make. All right, so a lot breaking. You heard the drone story. 855-839-1210.
A little testy over at the press.
Give us a little bit. Do you have anything?
You want some?
Yeah, here we go.
But in many of the cases, it would seem that some of these moves could raise prices for real Americans on everything from low-income heating, that program, child care programs. Will nothing that the president's doing here in terms of the freeze in these programs raise prices on ordinary Americans?
What particular actions are you referring to that
I'm
would...
I'm referring to LHEAP right now. That's the low-income heating program, for example. We can talk about... There's no clarity, so I could refer to a lot of them. We don't know what they are specifically. Can you tell us that LHEAP, that LIHEAP is not one of those affected?
So you're asking a hypothetical based on programs that you can't even identify.
Well, I just identified.
What I can tell you
Just to be clear, since you guys haven't identified, let's do it together just for Americans at home. Medicaid, is that affected?
I gave you a list of examples, Social Security, Medicare, welfare benefits, food stamps that will not be impacted by this federal pause. I can get you the full list after this briefing from the Office of Management and Budget. But I do want to address the cost cutting because that's certainly very important.
Okay. So what we're seeing here with all that's going on, I mean, the drone thing, you morons. Don't we want more on the drones? No, right away, the federal government, the monies, the welfare state, the freezing and all, that's where this whole thing is going. How about on the immigration issues?
Got some on that.
Okay.
Carolina on immigration. Of the 3,500 arrests ICE has made so far since President Trump came back into office, can you just tell us the numbers? How many have a criminal record versus those who are just in the country illegally?
All of them, because they illegally broke our nation's laws, and therefore they are criminals as far as this administration goes. I know the last administration didn't see it that way, it's a big culture shift in our nation to view someone who breaks our immigration laws as a criminal, but that's exactly what they are.
You may have done the worst first. They all have a criminal record.
And welcome to the briefing.
If they broke our nation's laws, yes. They are criminal. Yes.
Thank you. On stripping security details.
I love the cockiness of that answer. And it is. It's good cockiness. The only thing I would say is that I would like to hear a little bit more, though, out of that 3,500, have other crimes in the other country or here or are scheduled for deportation. She probably has that number, but she felt better. Just saying, you know what? You're a criminal. Well, it's a criminal act. There's no doubt about it. Wow. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. We're trying to get Jeff Van Drew in on this drone thing. You heard the guy with the accrediting of colleges. The reason we're talking about that is this is how far the Trump administration is drilling down. And you're going to hear more stuff like this. And this press conference today is remarkably different. And she is on top of her game versus, Jen Psaki, I don't like her ideology, but then the knockoff for the Biden years was even worse than anything we could imagine. 855-839-1210.
And before I turn to questions, I do have news directly from the President of the United States that was just shared with me in the Oval Office from President Trump directly, an update on the New Jersey drones. After research and study, the drones that were flying over New Jersey in large numbers were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons. Many of these drones were also hobbyists, recreational, and private individuals that enjoy flying drones. In time, it got worse due to curiosity. This was not the enemy.
All right, all good, but it's still continuing. The mayor of Belleville, New Jersey, has been our guest twice before. Mayor Michael Mellem joins us here on Talk Radio 1210. Mr. Mayor, welcome back. What do you make of that from Caroline Leavitt and the president?
I mean, listen, I'm just digesting it like everybody else. It's disappointing. I mean, waiting this long, you know, we were waiting for the first day or second day in office, and now it comes, seven, 8 days after President Trump takes office. He told us the first time he spoke that the president knew, that our government knew, and he didn't know why people weren't telling us. So why it takes 8 days to basically give us what I'm going to call as a cover story to the cover story at this point. I mean, come on. Research and various other reasons. I mean, first of all, she said the drones that were flying. Last night, I saw a swarm of drones here in Belleville. So they were flying. They are still flying. I don't believe the research, and I'm definitely curious about what the other various reasons are.
Yeah, you are a big fan. You belong in talk radio, Mayor. It's a compliment of the obfuscation that comes in the second part of it versus the first and other various reasons. So I'm not sure if they're going to say something else. You are the mind, I can tell, that probably your constituents are not going to say, well, we know it's not the enemy, so why care about it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, this has been going on for a while here in New Jersey, and sadly, people really are starting to lose interest, and part of me thinks that that's what they've been banking on. I mean, there was a big uproar, you know, a month ago. It kind of got brought to a head a couple weeks back. It has since subsided. The drones haven't subsided. It's just people are unfortunately becoming comfortable with not getting answers, and now you get an answer like this spoon-fed to us that it is the end. So this is the same FAA that banned drones a couple of weeks ago. And when they were banning drones, didn't tell us what was going on. So, I mean, am I really supposed to be believing the FAA at this point? Because I stood in a security briefing with 500 other mayors. By the way, our governor did not attend that briefing. And we were told point blank that the FAA will not let us ban them. The FAA won't ban them. We were told that our government will not shoot them down, which is why I drew the conclusion at that time, and I've been saying it all over social media, talk radio, everywhere else, that these from the beginning were our assets. And I've been saying and been consistently saying it's not about who they are, but what they're doing. We still today don't know what they're doing. We now believe we know who the who is. It's us, okay? We still don't know what they're doing.
Let me be the devil's advocate, Mayor, though, and say, though, do they have to say this is something we'll use against our enemies or something like that? Isn't it smarter, I guess they would say, to say, we're not even going to say that. We're telling you there's nothing to worry about. We're doing this, you got to believe, right, to protect American citizens.
Yeah, well, forgive me if I don't believe the government when they tell me they're doing something in my best interest. Guess what? We have a
wait
lot
a minute,
of
Mayor. Wait a minute, Mayor. You're in the government.
I'm in the local government, my friend. Yeah. I am more accountable to the people than anybody at a federal level. Trust me.
I hear you. I hear you.
Listen, there's a reason why we have a desert. There's a reason why we have miles and miles and acres out in the Midwest. There's a reason why we have Area 51. This is where this stuff gets researched. This is where this stuff gets tested. What are they doing up there? Are they looking for something? Are they sniffing for something? Why do they need to be in northern New Jersey, dead smack in the middle of Newark International Airspace, JFK Airspace, LaGuardia Airspace, Teterboro Airspace? Surely, if they have to do some research or some testing, they could be doing that over the desert. There's plenty of other states in the Midwest that you would never even know this stuff is going on. Why are they over northern New Jersey, and what are they doing there? Research? What's the research? Are they mapping? If they're mapping, tell me you're mapping. But to me, to watch these things fly over my home, last night was clear out. I was on Twitter last night sharing the fact that there were just drones all over the place. I mean, they're all over the place.
And I take your point. You use the word every time you've been on the sniffing part of it, something radioactive or God knows what. I would agree with you. That would be where my mind goes with this. Mayor, thank you again, and we'll continue to talk about this, and if we learn anything more, we'll certainly contact you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me again.
You're welcome. All right. When you're in government, you don't trust government. I get
That's
it.
That's a great line.
Yeah, that promo material there, Henry, I think that was promo. Yeah, that
Absolutely.
Was...
Absolutely. That's me on social media. That's me everywhere.
Mayor, but you're in government. I'm not. I don't trust him either. Dan, you're in the camp. Henry's the extreme.
Look, now I've had time to kind of digest it. Because you know it's some kind of answer, which is something I've been asking for, but it leads to more questions.
Yeah,
and that's where there's an issue. Is he mentioned the sniffing? You know, the way that she worded it, it can be left up to
and other reasons.
Yeah, us. Yes. Now the debate becomes with the and other reasons and. Like he said, why over Jersey? And is this if it's testing, why aren't we doing it over New Mexico or Arizona?
Right.
And
I'll tell you what I like about this: the tension with listeners, maybe with us. On the one hand, we're not believing the government almost anything anymore, deep state, all that stuff, right? On the other hand, you have people saying, "Well, Trump just reassured us it's not the enemy." So just going on, there's a tension here, and tension's good for talk radio, I think.
It's so short, and I think it's so newsworthy that it's important to play it one more time. Here's what Leavitt had to say.
Yeah, here's what Leavitt,
And before I turn to questions, I do have news directly from the President of the United States that was just shared with me in the Oval Office from President Trump directly, an update on the New Jersey drones. After research and study, the drones that were flying over New Jersey in large numbers were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons. Many of these drones were also hobbyists, recreational, and private individuals that enjoy flying drones. In time, it got worse due to curiosity. This was not the enemy.
All right, that's where we are. We're going to continue now with one of the real insiders, who I think will be with RFK Jr. tomorrow, one of his chief advisors, telling us what we'll see tomorrow in the confirmation hearing. This is one of his lifelong people that's worked with him. We'll get to them, Dom's Money Melody, and all your calls, and hit us on the drones, too, on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.